Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. Today we are studying Shoftim Perek Beis. And we begin Perek Beis with a malach coming to address Bnei Israel. Who is this? Is this an angel? And all the Mefarshim agree that this is actually a Navi. The Rabbag says it can't be that a malach Hashem would address the masses. He is Navi with a malacha. He is a prophet with a mission, and most agree that this malach is actually Pinchas. We find a similar reference in the story of Rachav. When Rachav goes to hide the two men, the two spies, Kalev and Pinchas, who came to her inn, the pasuk says, "Vatitz pino," and she hid him in the singular. And there Rashi comments that even though Kalev and Pinchas were both there, there was only a need to hide Kalev because Pinchas was like a malach, and therefore he didn't need her to hide him. He was able to become invisible on his own. He had these qualities in him. And he comes from Gilgal. And we know that Gilgal is a place of Jewish highs. Gilgal is the place of the Bris Milah, of the mass circumcision in the time of Yehoshua. It's the place of the first Pesach as a nation in a new land. We know that the Mishkan was there for 14 years before it was moved to Shiloh. And there the prophecy starts. The prophecy starts in a place of highs, and it goes to a place of lows, to a place called Bochim. And Pinchas begins with the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, which is actually a very empowering way to begin. He says, "Bnei Yisrael, remember you were in Mitzrayim? Think about this. You were on the 49th level of Tumah, right? And Hashem nevertheless took you out and he drew you close." He's letting them know, "Bnei Yisrael, you have greatness in you and you can get back to it." Pinchas is reminding Bnei Yisrael that Hashem said, "He won't break his covenant with us. And yet we did not live up to our end of the bargain. We did not live up to our end of the covenant. And we did not drive out the inhabitants of Canaan and destroy their mizbechot." And it's important to note that this concept is actually something that Abraham understood. When Abraham was looking for a wife for his son, for Yitzchak, when he was looking for a partner for Yitzchak to bring Klal Yisrael, he made Eliezer, his servant, swear not to take a girl from Canaan because he understood that their qualities and their character traits are not good, nor are they conducive to building a Jewish home. And Hashem tells us that he is not going to drive out the nations for us. The nations that we left, he is going to leave them there, and they will be thorns for us, and their gods will become stumbling blocks for us. And this strikes a chord in Bnei Israel, and they cry. Hence, the name of the place is called a Bochim, to cry, and they bring karbanos. But according to the Alshech, they cried, but yet it wasn't complete, because why? Even though they cried, they didn't ask Hashem for help. They didn't ask God to help them out of this situation and help them change their ways. And now, the Pesukim take us back to Yehoshua. And though, yes, chronologically, it's out of order, but since we are about to hear about the wrongdoings of Bnei Yisrael, we are told of what was, meaning it wasn't always like this. Bnei Yisrael had done right in the past. And Yehoshua sends the people, he sends the Jewish nation, each man goes to his own nachla, his own portion to inherit his land. We know that in the days of Yehoshua, the conquest was on a national level. But here, at this point, the nations need to go back to their own places, their own portions, and inhabit and inherit and kick out from their lands. And the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Zion that Bnei Yisrael serve Hashem all of the days of Yehoshua. And not only in the days of Yehoshua, but during the days of all the Zekanim that outlive Yehoshua. Because these were all people that saw the great things that Hashem did for Bnei Yisrael. And it was these leaders that saw the great Nisim and Niflos, the miracles and the amazing things that God did for Bnei Yisrael with their own eyes. They were able to keep Bnei Yisrael on track. They were able to keep Bnei Yisrael doing what they needed to be doing. And then Pasuk Ches continues, Yehoshua dies at the age of 110, and they bury him in his portion. And the Pasuk tells us, they bury him Timnas Cheres Bahar Ephraim Mitzafon Lahar Gaash. They bury him in Timnas Cheres, and they say, and it is called this because why? They erected a picture, a timuna, of the son, of the Cheres, on his grave, because we know that Yehoshua was the one who stopped the son. But what is this Har Gaash? What is this mountain? Do we know of such a place in Tanakh? And there the Medrash tells us that this mountain was was like a volcano. It was bubbling because it was so angry at Bnei Yisrael that they didn't properly eulogize Yehoshua. You see, Bnei Yisrael were each went to their own nachla. They went to their own portion, and they got so involved in their vineyards, in their planting, in their settling, that they didn't go with the proper Hakaras HaTov to bury Yehoshua, and they didn't go and properly eulogize Yehoshua. And with this, we come to the infamous Galgal HaShoftim, the cycle of sin that we see over and over throughout Sefer Shoftim. Pasuk Yud-Aleph tells us Vayasa Bnei Yisrael Esara Be'inei Hashem, that Bnei Yisrael did bad in the eyes of God, Vayavdu Es HaBa'alim, and they go and they worship Avodah Zarah. And according to the Al-Sheikh, this was actually done in stages. First, Bnei Yisrael start with the more minor sins, but then eventually it leads to the more major sins. It leads then to do Avodah Zarah. And the Malbim tells us that these psukim are actually an introduction to the Sefer and then the stories that will follow. And he also says that Bnei Yisrael's decline happened in stages. First, they did what was wrong in the eyes of Hashem, meaning what? They didn't keep the Torah and mitzvos. There were small things that they started to change, they didn't do, they weren't so careful about. But then comes the second stage, where they begin to rebel and they begin to worship Avodah Zarah. But says the Malbim, they didn't just leave God and worship Avodah Zarah. They did this what we call b'shituf, in partnership, meaning they did worship Avodah Zarah, but they did it at the same time that they were actually still worshiping God. But then comes the third stage, when eventually they leave God completely and they only go after the Avodah Zarah, the idols. And it's really important to recognize, I think it's a very important lesson for all of us, that people don't go from good to bad overnight. They don't go to sleep a tzaddik and wake up a rasha. But rather, these things happen in small steps and small stages. In fact, the Malbim brings a similar idea in Yeshayahu, when Yeshayahu questions, Echa haiksakazona, how could it be that Bnei Yisrael have gone astray? They have become like a harlot. And he continues and he says, you know, Yerushalayim was a kiryat ne'emana. It was a faithful city. It was a city of tzedek and mishpat, of justice and righteousness. And now, va'ata miratzchim, it's become a city of murderers. And it sounds literally like Jekyll and Hyde. They go to sleep good and they wake up evil and crazy and they become murderers. But there he says, no, don't think that bad things like this happen overnight. Again, it happens in stages. And if you read the psukim that follow, it says, kaspei chayu l'sigim, sav'ech machol b'mayim, that what did they do? When they were selling their metal, they started to include impurities in the metal. They didn't sell pure metals. They sold it with dross. And similarly with their wine. They didn't sell pure wine. They started to dilute it. These things seemed insignificant in their eyes. They started with small things. But what happens when you start with small things? You think, oh, this is not really such a big deal. It mushrooms and it ends up becoming a very big deal. And we see that very clearly here. They started with smaller sins. They started with leaving Torah and mitzvos. And eventually it ends up leading them to Avodah Zarah. And then what happens is the punishment. We have Pasuk Yud-Aleph. Hashem starts to punish Bnei Yisrael. And they're actually, according to the Malbim, again, the punishment comes in three stages, three levels. First, what we have is called the Shosim. The enemies who come, they come to plunder. They take our property, they take our money, and then they leave. But then we have the second stage, which is worse. Vayim karein biyad oyvehem. That God, what does he do? He gives us over into the hands of our enemies. Meaning what? He pulls back. He takes a step back. He removes his hashgacha, his watching over us. And then what happens? The natural order takes place. Nature runs its course, and Bnei Yisrael ends up in the hands of their enemies. But then, finally, we have the third stage, where God is actively punishing us. B'chol asher yatzu, yad Hashem ha'isa balara. Anything we did, any way we went out, God's hand was on us for bad, meaning God was actively punishing us. And with this, we begin the Galgal HaShoftim, the cycle of sin. Bnei Yisrael would worship Avodah Zarah, and so therefore God got angry. And when he got angry, he would send an enemy. And the enemy would cause us distress, and would hurt us, and would pain us. And so therefore, what happens? Due to our distress, we call out to God, and God responds by sending us a shofet, a person who helps us and keeps us in check. And then when Hashem sends us the shofet, he is with the shofet, and therefore what happens? Hashem saves us, and we have some good times. But then what happens eventually? The Shofet dies and Bnei Yisrael return to their wayward ways. Not only do we return to our wayward ways, but we do so even more than our forefathers. We're more seeped. We're doing more bad. And it is even worse. And then, once again, Hashem becomes angry with Bnei Yisrael and the cycle begins anew. Thank you for studying together with us today. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.